Welcome to Coffee, Culture, and the Capital with Sophia and Greg.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. We have quite a few different things to talk to you about today, but they're all kind of stem from the same idea, something that I'm sure you guys are all familiar about, the hypersexualization of our culture and how we've seen really a push for sex and everything that entails, from in schools with young children to on the TVs all the time, in movies, and we're just seeing what that's doing to culture. And result of that is we have legislation that has helped with that and legislation that's trying to prevent that to an extent. So three bills that we're going to dive into today. Two are good, one's not so great. But before we get to all of that, we have some really exciting events coming up. Greg, what is going on at the state capitol on April 21st?
I have no idea, even though we keep talking about it over and over, but it is the March for Life. Yes. This is something we do every year where a couple thousand people show up at the Capitol to advocate and cheer the value of human beings from conception to natural death. And so here in California, this Capitol building seems to celebrate the killing of unborn children. That is particularly sad. And so as Christians who love our neighbors, our obligation is to stand up and speak for the good, to stand up and speak for their value. That's what love does. It doesn't just sit back and watch and complain and say, oh, well, it's not my problem. No, you're put here on the earth to be salt and light. That means a preserving agent, to stand on a hill. Don't put your light under a bushel, right? Jesus said we're the light of the world, and that means standing up for the value of human beings, no matter how big, no matter how small.
Absolutely. And so that's why you guys should all join us on the steps of the Capitol Monday, April 22nd. So join us there. We have events starting as early as about 9:30, 10 a.m. You can go on a Love Life prayer walk to the Planned Parenthood across the street to pray outside of the Planned Parenthood. We're going to have booths with amazing organizations lined up on the Capitol ground, so you can check all those out. At 11 a.m., we're going to have prayer and worship on the steps of the Capitol. At noon, we are going to have the March for Life rally, so some amazing pro-life speakers. And then at 1 p.m., we're going to March for Life. So it's a great day full of lots of events. You can also go lobby to your legislators after you march. So be there. Join us there. You can find more information at californiafamily.org. You will see we have our March for Life tab on the front top of our website, as well as the night before. We have our Defending Life dinner. So join us for that. It's a great time to get together and just form community and be able to talk about what's going on here in California around the issue of life. So join us there if you go to californiafamily.org/life dinner. You can find information and get your tickets. So we would love to see you all in person and not just over the screen like this. So get your tickets, discounted room rates, all of that on our website. Click on the March for Life tab. But with that, let's dive into it. So Greg, you testified this week on a bill that we saw last year, and we see it come back and introduced very similar this year. What was going on with SB 954?
Yeah, well, we have an STI, sexually transmitted infections epidemic here in California, and the legislature is trying to figure out what to do, right? And so they've been promising that, you know, comprehensive sex ed in all schools and more condoms, make sure kids know about all types of sex they could possibly have and make sure they're fully informed. That's all going to result in lower STD rates. That's what they've been telling us, but the exact opposite has happened. And so I kind of explained that in my testimony and kind of confronted them about, hey, you've tried all this and it's only gotten worse. And so why don't we watch the testimony that I can comment afterwards?
this bill promotes a hookup culture where youth have meaningless sex for fun with multiple partners. How many young people are you willing to sacrifice? Dear members, my name is Greg Burt with the California Family Council. For over a decade, this legislative body has championed the distribution of condoms and comprehensive sex education as a panacea for our youth's escalating sexually transmitted infection rates. Yet as these rates have soared, so has your reliance on these measures, culminating in the passage of the California Healthy Youth Act in 2015. This law was supposed to protect kids from STIs and slow infection rates. But ask yourself, did it work? Did STI rates go down? No, the exact opposite happened. STI rates have reached epidemic proportions, with syphilis and gonorrhea rates skyrocketing by 320% and 190% respectively over the last decade or so. So where does the author get her confidence that free condoms is the answer? Does this bill require warning labels on condom dispensers telling teens that latex will not protect them from syphilis? Condoms also won't protect teens from herpes and genital warts and monkeypox, because these STIs all spread by skin-to-skin contact. Ultimately, you will have to convince youth to stop having sex with multiple partners if you want to stop the spread of STIs. Handing out free condoms does not send that message. Instead, it gives kids a sense of security and tells youth self-control isn't required when it comes to sex. I believe real change will only happen if you promote the truth that those with the most fulfilling and healthy sex lives are those who treat sex as a special and intimate act shared in a monogamous committed marriage. But instead, this bill promotes a hookup culture where youth have meaningless sex for fun with multiple partners. How many young people are you willing to sacrifice? What STI rates are you willing to tolerate before you will consider different options? Please vote no on SB 954. Thank you.
Madam Secretary, so we have a motion. Madam Secretary, would you mind taking the roll?
File item 4, SB 954, Menjivar. Motion is due pass to Senate Health Committee. Newman? Ochoa Bogue?
No.
Ochoa Bogue, no. Cortese?
Aye.
Cortese, aye. Glazer?
Aye.
Glazer, aye. Gonzalez? Smallwood Cuevas?
Aye.
Smallwood Cuevas, aye. Wilk?
No.
Wilk, no.
Thank you, and we'll leave that on call for the rest of the members.
That was great. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. This isn't stemming from just... People might think, oh, why are you saying no to condoms? Isn't that going to be worse? And it's like, no, first of all, why are we pushing this sexualization on children? And all the reasons you laid out. At the end of the video, you saw everyone vote. Of course, there wasn't enough people there, but the votes did get put in later, and it did pass 5-2. So it will be off to the next committee. But Greg, tell us more about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've been having this debate for decades, right? And this debate between, well, should we hand out condoms to kids because we know they're going to have sex anyway, right? Or is it better to tell them to wait, right? Is that realistic? And right, so this state has kind of poo-pooed abstinence pushes, and instead, you know, sends out a message to kids, you know, we know you can't control yourself, so you better hear it. So the best thing you do is wear a condom. But the thing with condoms. They don't work on some of the diseases that are at epidemic levels, like syphilis. They don't protect you hardly at all for syphilis. And so, are they warning kids that? No, they're pretending that these condoms will protect them. And so kids don't have to work on controlling and tempering their sex drive and channeling it into, you know, waiting for that perfect person they want to commit their lives to. Instead, they tell kids, hey, and this particular bill, what it does is it forces every school to mandate that all 9th through 12th graders are told where they can get free condoms on campus with no questions asked. They're just going to be a dispenser, a big box somewhere where they can go and get them, right? And then every sex ed class, both in junior high and high school, is now going to be able to hand them out to every kid in the class. And they get the, if a school can't afford it, then Planned Parenthood and other third parties can supply the condoms, right? And so Planned Parenthood would love that because they put the little logo on there, right? They say, have fun. Or they have some vulgar messages on these condoms from Planned Parenthood. We've got them at the Capitol sent to each of the offices on Valentine's Day. And what are they doing? Well, they're trying to get kids, hey, have sex. And, oh, and if you have a disease, hey, come and get tested with us. And, you know, if you happen to have you get pregnant, well, you can get your abortion here. It's what an advertising plan. And so what's happening is, you know, you're destroying sex. I mean, God created sex as a wonderful gift under certain conditions, right? With these boundaries that he put up for our flourishing. He's not a killjoy, but if you reject all of his standards, what's happening? Disease spreads, unwed pregnancies, little kids die. It's just total havoc. And so we're just experiencing the end result of the state pushing on policies that rebel against biblical standards and society's hurt. And so what does a Christian do? Well, we stand up for the truth. Even there was nobody, well, there was nice to have some pastors there opposing it, but generally you come into the Capitol with that message and you're not going to walk out, you know, a big fan of anybody, but somebody had to say it. And we all have to start saying it because their efforts have failed. They had, their bill was called the Healthy Youth Act. Are kids healthier? They don't even measure it, right? Well, it's about time they start measuring because, absolutely. Right? So anyway.
Yeah, no, that was great. And again, like we said in the beginning, this is all stemming from culture becoming hypersexualized, and that wasn't an accident. People have done that intentionally. And so that has resulted into something large we have seen grow is the porn industry. And mm-hmm. we know the negative effects that industry has. We know the stats show that if girls are introduced to porn at a young age, it leads to eating disorders. It leads to a lack of understanding about how they should be treated in a relationship. It leads to anxiety, it leads to depression, and we see the negative effects it has on young boys as well. And so as much as we'd like to say, let's wipe out the porn industry as a whole and make it so no one has access to that, let's get rid of that industry, that's nearly impossible. So we're starting with the protection of minors. And we're seeing this through AB 3080. The language for this was just officially dropped this morning. Greg, can you kind of dive into what AB 3080 is?
Right. This is around the country. They are starting to pass what they call age verification bills. And this is directed towards the porn industry. You know, it used to be if you wanted to see pornography, you had to go buy a magazine and go to a particular store. Now we all know that porn is all over the internet. It's all over your phones. It's easy to access, and that's exactly how the porn industry likes it. They want you to start early, and they want you to get addicted and to be a lifelong customer. And so the state has an obligation to protect youth, and particularly it has the right to do so. And so what this bill is doing is telling pornography websites that they have to verify the age of those on their websites before they can see the content. And so these bills have passed in about 7-8 different states already. It actually had passed in Texas as one of the states, Louisiana, Montana, Virginia, a handful of others. And actually just recently, somebody sued Texas over this law, and a court case just came out where the porn industry lost, and a big pornography website called Pornhub decided, all right, well, if you are making us verify ages, we're just not going to show Pornhub in Texas. And so they pulled out. So I mean, that's their right. But age verification technology is very advanced now. It protects privacy. And we've crafted this bill in a way that it simply tells a porn website that, you know, you can't have youth accessing your material. And, you know, we do this for movies, right? You have to show your ID. We do this for drinking and alcohol. You know, you can't sell alcohol to minors. So why in the world should be selling obscenity to minors, right? So anyway, we're excited. This bill's been introduced, and we hope lots of people support it.
Absolutely. And this is a common sense bill to support. So make sure to follow along at californiafamily.org. You'll see we have our bill watch list. Follow us along on Instagram, on social media at California Family Council. That way you guys can see we'll be posting about this bill. We'll be posting when it has a hearing, who to call, who to urge a yes vote from, and all that. So we'll keep you guys up to date on that. The states that a similar bill has passed in has passed with large bipartisan support. And so we're hoping to see the same thing here in California. So definitely be making phone calls. And now the last thing. Human trafficking or sex trafficking has increased. Prostitution has increased here in California immensely. And most people would just think, well, isn't there laws in place to make sure that that doesn't happen? Isn't there laws in place to stop prostitution and sex trafficking and all of that from going on? Well, we have talked about this before, probably on podcasts from early last year. We've posted a lot on our social media, but there was a bill by Senator Scott Wiener that actually kind of helped explode the prostitution sex trafficking ring. And so let's just watch this clip and then we'll kind of dive in and add some hopeful news to that at the end. But let's see what even just this shows you how bad it is, because a lot of times you see mainstream media, news, all that not reporting on what's happening. And this is getting reported on, and they're being pretty direct and honest and truthful about what's going on here. So let's check that out.
Prostitution, they say, is out of control there. Some say a new state law decriminalizing loitering is making the problem worse. CBS 8's David Gofferson got video from this past weekend and went to the neighborhood today to see what's happening there.
It's getting worse. You know, the hookers are there day and night.
All you have to do is look at this one video clip from Dalbergia Street in Barrio Logan, and it tells the entire story. A parade of prostitution this past weekend as the Johns drive by and count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 women on the street flagging down cars appearing to solicit prostitution. And that's just one corner on one weekend night.
There's just no patrolling of the area. There's no policing of the area. And it's a free-for-all anymore.
And it's not just at night. I recorded this video today at 1 p.m. In fact, all the video you see in this report was recorded over the last 2 months. The businessman who spoke to me wanted to remain anonymous because he's afraid of the pimps.
We've heard gunshots in the middle of the day. We've seen hookers run up and down the street, chase people out of their cars. They walk right up to your car. They will open up the door as they're walking by. You slam your door. They take it as an aggression towards them. You have to drive off, and if there's a pimp in the area, he will chase you down.
Another business owner told me she thinks it's gotten worse since Governor Newsom signed a state law last month.
And so that, like you said, like we said, it pretty much shows what is a result of Scott Wiener's bill and Governor Newsom signing into law. So is there anything else you want to touch on SB 357 about, Greg?
Well, yeah, FTP 357 was a law. It was a law that said loitering for the purpose of prostitution is illegal. Now, loitering, it means anybody who is out there, obviously driving around looking for a prostitute. Right. And everybody knows where the prostitutes hang out. So police know what's happening. Right. And if ladies that are out there, you know, dressed in skimpy outfits, everybody knows what's going on as well. So police have a way to stop the open trafficking In neighborhoods, they're usually in your poorer neighborhoods, right? Your red light districts. So this is just one way that police could talk to prostitutes, offer them help, separate them from their pimps, right? But once you took away that tool, the only way they could actually charge somebody with prostitution is if they got close enough to hear somebody soliciting, right? Well, if you get close enough to hear, that nobody's going to say, hey, I'll pay you this much for this, right? And so police are helpless with the open. And so what happened around the state, open trafficking was happening all hours of the day. Pimps would come out of the dark. They used to be hiding previously, but now they're out there bold because they know that they won't be harassed by the police officers. And so this bill was supposed to protect women because they said, you know, police are harassing them based on their race. Well, in the end, it really did harm lots of women who were out there without any police engaging in trying to stop it, which makes them completely vulnerable to being used and abused. So this bill that we are involved with helping introduce is SB 1219. Senator Kelly Ciarto has introduced it, and it's just reintroducing loitering for prostitution, but it's particularly taking aim at those guys out there who are looking to buy people for sex. And it gives some authority to police to not only give them a ticket, but to take their car and impound it. And so you got to have some kind of consequences for buying human beings. And hopefully this will be passed and help curb the type of rampant sex markets that are developing on our streets. We all know nobody is for sex trafficking, but the state has very weak laws many times to fight human trafficking, and that's why it spreads. So we're looking forward to this.
Yes. Yeah, so SB 1219, make sure to keep your radar on that one. Again, we will be tracking it on our bill watch list.
I forgot to tell you about that one. It does have a hearing on April 2nd in the Senate Public Safety Committee. So we'll be having more information about it on our website. We'll do a call-in campaign, but the members of the Senate Public Safety Committee are the ones that are going to decide on the 2nd of April whether this bill goes forward.
Yes, so SB 1219, April 2nd, has a hearing. Again, californiafamily.org, watch our bill watch list. If you are on social media, if you're on Instagram or Facebook, California Family Council, we will, once we get a little bit closer to this hearing, we will post on social media the senators that are on the committee. We'll post their direct office numbers. We'll post why we are supporting this. We'll remind you guys to say to vote yes, because we are supporting stuff. There are some good bills to support this year. So follow along social media, follow along at californiafamily.org, sign up for a newsletter. There's multiple ways we are getting this information out to you all to try to make it easy. But with that is all we have for today. I want to recognize that today we talked about three bills and two of them were good. So even when it feels like there is a lot of heaviness and evil coming out of the Capitol, we're not going to lie and say that there's not. But this year, this legislative session, there's actually quite a few bills we're supporting and helping out with. So that is something to be excited about. So just as easily as it is to be upset about a bill and call and urge a no vote, it's also extremely important to call and urge a yes vote. So stay up to date with that. And with that, we will see you all next time.
See ya.